Yeah! Half of that is accurate. Half of that is not. It is a Laker ticket giveaway Thursday, so we got some tickets for you, the Lakers and the Hawks, so you got to listen to us all day long for your chance to win those tickets. Slee is considering some Raider tattoos. I have my own suggestions that we'll get to in a little bit.
By the way, not a tattoo, a couple of them.
Twos.
Just a
tattoos.
Couple of them. Yeah.
Twos.
If we're going
to
do like this, let's just
multiple
go
multiple tattoos.
Yep.
I like it. I like that you got your Raider jersey on today. Mm-hmm. I like that you've got your Darth Vader mask as you're doing the show. You're ready for the black hole.
Listen. I'm a Raider guy. I always have been, you know.
And yeah,
it's
for
what's
sure.
funny is I've always moved with them. So when they were in L.A., I was in L.A. When they moved to the Bay Area and they were up in Oakland, just randomly I decided to buy a condo out there and live out there for as long as they were. When there was a lot of conversation of what are the Raiders going to do, I put my condo up for sale, and now I'm currently residing at the Wynn in Las Vegas.
Perfect. Now all you got to do is go all the way and get multiple Raider tattoos, which we, like our listener from yesterday, he had three. I think that you at least need to go that far and maybe one up him and get a fourth. I still am leaning strongly to something that is visible, like maybe the back of your hand or the face or something that you just can't cover up.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get a full Tim Brown tattoo. Maybe I'll go
more aggressive. You got to go like Kenny Stabler or something. Tim
Brown. Go Gene Upshaw.
Mainstream.
Let me go.
Better.
But then this one's going to be, even though it'd be the most baller one, Marcus Allen. That's the most baller one.
Fantastic. That's a great choice.
We're in. Let's now listen. If the only thing I will say, if the Raiders did lose to the Chargers, maybe after that I'm going to get another AFC tattoo. Maybe I'm going to go.
Go Titans. You know, I don't know if people know this about you or not, but you are a very low-key, huge Ryan Tannehill fan. That you've always been a big Tannehill guy, going all the way back to his days in Miami, all the way back to his days at A&M. You are all in. It depends on week to week and who's going up against.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding when I say this. If somebody told me, "Hey Al, got an extra ticket, come out to Vegas. Raiders and the Chargers on Sunday night. We're going to be in the black hole."
I'm not kidding.
No. I'm not kidding when I tell you this.
Be careful.
Well, no, here's the problem. The problem is I can't do
somebody's
it.
Somebody's going to call Al.
Which
and
is fine.
Ticket,
and I would be
go.
In. Here's All the right. problem. The problem is I've got the Lakers game. Lakers of Memphis.
Yeah, see,
like, I literally can't do it because of the Lakers game.
I'll make you an offer right now. I'll make you an offer right now.
No, I will do double duty.
I will do both.
I get it. I understand it. And I appreciate and respect that very, very much so. But I'm not leaving the Lakers broadcast. I got to go. We got work to do over there.
So that wasn't a real offer then. That was just more you posturing and trying to get in good with your new Raider buddies and trying to position yourself when the real – because I guarantee you, if you throw that out there, the offer will come.
Oh, no.
I almost guarantee it.
I don't question that for a second. I really don't. Now, at the same time, this is the same Raider fan base that – back in the days in San Diego, wouldn't let me park in certain areas because I was a Charger fan. But we were in San Diego, and they're like, "Doesn't matter, bro. You got to go to Q4 on the other side of the Qualcomm Stadium."
You're right. I'm in the wrong spot. Let me just back out of here, fellas. Here's $20 for your trouble. Let me turn around and go
my
back
fault.
The other way.
Got a 12-pack here.
Sorry to interrupt your tailgate.
Let me leave the beers. Let me leave them here with you guys.
Absolutely. All right. The other thing that was in there – I went on with Mason in Ireland yesterday and with Jorge, and we were talking about the wine situation that we talked about on the show yesterday.
Oh, I didn't know that. So it kind of reached the next level of the show. Update me, because I have no idea what happened there.
So, well, very quickly, for people that maybe – and again, this is why you need to come into the show every day and stay with us as long as you possibly can. I would prefer 3 hours, that you listen to us all day long. So you know all this stuff. But there was some confusion over the holidays.
No
over
confusion. I screwed it up. Very simple.
Okay, well, the confusion was the result of your screw-up, but there was confusion. You brought both Taylor and myself a gift. And you labeled one with my name and one with his name, only you put them in the wrong places. You put my gift in Taylor's locker. Which Taylor thought was a gift from me that I would, for some reason, write my name on a gift that I gave to Taylor. And then the other thing was I came into our studio, saw it sitting on my chair, but had Taylor's name on it, and I thought Taylor had just placed it there inadvertently.
You moved it to the side, and it sat there through the whole holidays.
It's not mine. Yep. It's not mine. Why would I have looked at it? It didn't have my name on it. So anyway, we find out that Taylor doesn't drink and that Taylor gave my bottle of wine to Jorge. And Jorge has since consumed my bottle of wine.
He already took it down, so the wine's gone.
It's gone. Wine's gone. We found out yesterday. But Ireland asked a very important question yesterday that all of us kind of overlooked yesterday. Mm-hmm. Where's the second bottle? Where is it?
It is. Okay, do you want to know where it is? I'll tell you exactly where it is.
It's in your kitchen.
No.
Where is it?
It's in the studio that I do the Laker broadcast from.
Oh, so it's still around.
Yeah, so I put it, Taylor, I eventually took it from the main studio. So I'm like, all right, everybody's coming in here doing the main shows, and they just keep seeing this wine bottle here with this,
Taylor's,
you know, with the
it.
Wine bag with Taylor's name. So I took that and I put it then in the other studio where I do the Laker broadcast from. So it's just sitting there right now.
So that
but that again, one was
is that,
specific.
Is that mine now or is that Taylor's? Like, I'm still confused as to
that
where,
one was
I was
specific,
supposed to get the bottle of Pinot, right?
That was
what it was,
that was
supposed
specific to,
be for me. To
Taylor.
Okay.
The bottle that I got you that then went to Taylor, which then
Jorge
consumed. That one was specific to you. Okay.
Jorge, and the reason good taste in wine.
By the way, there was a little moment that was a little weird.
Okay.
When Taylor and I were putting all the pieces together, there was a card for Taylor still in the other bag, right? Because remember, Taylor read the card that I gave to you and thought that was from you as well.
Best wishes from Mr. Sliwa.
It was like, hey, great time. Let's keep it up. It was like one of those, right?
Yeah. I believe Taylor's exact quote yesterday was, there wasn't anything that special in it. It wasn't sentimental or anything like that. It was pretty,
by the way, thanks,
pretty perfunctory.
It could have been for me, too.
I appreciate that.
It could have gone either way.
Interpreted. Either way.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
FYI, great sale this weekend at Costco. Okay, so Taylor, when I was, you know, taking the bag back, and I'm like, I'm giving Taylor his card, and he was almost like, well, I already got a card. No, but Taylor, this card is for, this one was specific to you, and now Taylor has the card, but the wine bottle sitting there.
Here's my takeaway from this. This whole debacle comes down to this.
Oh, I screwed it up. No question about it.
Emily's the only one that got the gift that was intended for her on time, that was with a note for Emily. So at least one person on our team got what they were supposed to get.
And I very much appreciated it. It was a great
perfect
gift. I have not enjoyed it yet, but I will soon.
Good. Well, at least what is that? One for three? Is that was that your
one
batting average in this one?
One for three.
Yeah, it's very simple. You can just lay it on my keyboard, and that's about – it's not, you can't get confused that much.
It's my free throw percentage. One for three.
So do I get the bottle that's in the Laker? I feel like I still am owed a bottle at some point. Even though it's kind of past and my birthday's a long way away. Our 1 year anniversary is coming up. You could give it to me, you could just put it in your locker or your desk for another few months.
I'm not sure what to do from this point. So I don't know. And then we're not in studio now. You know, everything's kind of changed. So we'll see what happens.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. If you want to participate in the show, you know how to do it. It is the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back, so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. So you guys know that number, 877-710-ESPN. I like that you took the initiative yesterday, Slee, that you texted us and said, okay, I not only did I watch episode 3 of Karate Kid, but I hit that next episode button. You went double dip yesterday. Not having the Laker games a couple of days in a row
screws
really
up
freed
everything.
You up to watch some TV. I like it.
Yeah, it screws up everything. It throws me off. This was it was actually a little bit later than I thought. Around 7 o'clock, I just said, bad news. I watched two episodes, so – we were supposed to do one episode a day. That was the idea, Monday through Friday. And then next week, we're going to do the same thing. The show, it's not that the show is good enough to where you have to binge watch it. That's not the case at all. Because I think, Trav, you would agree.
I strongly agree. Yes.
We are both kind of enjoying what we're doing here, watching Cobra Kai. But it's not like it's one of those where you're like, oh, my gosh. You know what? I can't do anything. I have to sit here and I got to watch this. The difference was when you have two straight nights without Lakers basketball, it's incredibly confusing. Like, I don't know what to do. I yesterday I was putting Christmas stuff away. We went to Target. I thought I was going to an amusement park. Like, there was a lot of...
Still a zoo? Was it still just mayhem in department stores?
No.
It was okay?
No, it wasn't. But amusement park as in, it was exciting. Like, I was going to Target on a weeknight. And usually I can't do that because there's a Lakers game. So, you know, we went in and got what we needed. And I was like, well, what's the rush? Like, why don't we just keep walking around and take a look at what's going on at Target? So to answer your question, I had plenty of time yesterday to watch Cobra Kai, and it wasn't because it deserved two straight episodes. It's because I had the time.
Yeah, I think that's very well said, because here's how it went for me, and we'll get into the episodes a little bit more. But the fact of the matter was, when episode 3 ended, mm-hmm. I had that, why did Sliwa watch a fourth? I really don't want to watch another one of these tonight.
I don't
this
blame
is,
you.
This is not good.
I don't blame you.
I also don't want you to be ahead of me. So I kind of muscled through the fourth episode, and we've hit that point where we need something good to happen. We're going to need some Johnny Lawrence activity very soon, because what I saw in episodes 3 and 4 is not what I signed up for. This is not why I am here. It's not here to watch the La Russa clan teach Miguel how to change a fan belt. That is not what I need. I need more than that.
Why, can I ask you this? You know how we talk about with certain movies, one of the most, kind of our pet peeve, right? Did the Kurt Warner movie come out yet or no?
It did.
Okay. You know how we were talking about how they have actors acting as athletes?
Yes.
And then, you know, here's a role where you got a dude that has made his career by being such an unbelievable NFL quarterback, and he's got a really cool story behind it. But yet the guy who plays Kurt Warner, I haven't seen it, but I think you were telling me, like, the guys can't throw the ball, or it looks a little odd, or it looks a little... Why in Cobra Kai, there were so many moments yesterday where I'm like, can you just bring somebody that can sort of kick? Just can sort of kick. Just, you know, it doesn't have to be a good kick. Nobody's asking for Bruce Lee to be out here. But can you just get somebody who can get maybe their leg over their hip? Something along those lines.
Yeah, there's
I had
a lot
those
more Bob
yesterday.
Lee than Bruce Lee. There's nobody there that's really selling it other than Johnny Lawrence. We've entered a very dangerous phase of Karate Kid that I'm not a huge fan of, but we'll muscle through it. If there's any more scenes where them trying to catch carp in somebody's backyard, I think I'm officially out. That was the dumbest thing I've seen on this show in a while.
It's like me being an actor for a great left-handed pitcher. Okay, so not even a right-handed pitcher. Like, I'm throwing, this is my slider, I'm a southpaw, and I've never thrown left in my life. Those are some of the kicks I was watching yesterday.
That's a pretty good description. All right, so because there was no Laker game, because there was no football last night, I dabbled in a little Mavericks and Golden State Warriors basketball last night. So we got to see Dirk Nowitzki have his number retired, and it got me thinking, mm-hmm. Who's next here? Who is next here in the city of L.A., and who should we have retired already? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
All right, no one plays daily fantasy sports to lose. Winning feels way better, and with Stat Hero, you can. So first off, let me just say this. Travis and I have been talking about Stat Hero now for about 4 months, and we greatly appreciate their partnership on the show. If you like daily fantasy sports, maybe you're familiar with it, maybe you're not, just go on download the app and have it on your phone. Trav, I think, you know, you could speak to this. It makes the game so much funner. You actually get, now all of a sudden, just like the way we do fantasy football and everything else, each one of these games you can have some action in, and the best way to do it is to do it through Stat Hero.
Yeah, because you get to see what your comp. I mean, think about it. Think if you had the scouting report of the team that you were going to play, right? You knew exactly what they were going to do. You knew exactly who they were going to play. That's what Stat Hero does. They show you your lineup before you have to post yours. I need to beat these guys. I need to beat Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert this weekend. Mm-hmm. And if you like it, you play. If you don't like it, you find a different one that you like better, and you play against that one, and you just need to beat that one lineup. You don't need to beat an entire field of people, just one lineup. Nobody else does that. Only Stat Hero, the number one DFS site for Travis Lee.
Tired of of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's always been one of those things that I've kind of wondered about. Like, would I enjoy a game in the black hole with the dog?
Oh, hell yeah, you would.
Well, hold on a second. Whole game?
Yes.
Like, I understand hanging out for a beer or two. You want to hang out the whole time with the guy with the shoulder pad spikes, the Darth Vader helmet, the lightsaber?
So 100%.
That's like 4 hours worth of that. That's a lot.
100%. 100%. And on top of that, no, listen. Let me give you a good example.
All right.
When you watch... I mean, it's lost kind of its – I think it's lost a lot of its allure, but Duke, North Carolina, when you're watching a game with Duke and how crazy they go, and, you know, when they're at the free throw line and they're shaking their hands and doing all that stuff, it's one of the coolest things that you could watch in sports.
Yeah.
Environment-wise, I think it's amazing to be in environments like that. Have you ever rushed the field or rushed the court or anything?
Once. A big Monday, 1990. Yep. UC awesome. Santa Barbara upsets the number one team in America, the UNLV Running Rebels, and the game started at 9 o'clock at night. Okay,
so it was one of those midnight. Yep.
Back in the day, Big Monday was you'd have the Big East, which when it was the Big East, right? Like Georgetown against St. John's, big game. Mm. Then they'd have the big, I think it was the Big Eight at the time, and it would be like Nebraska against Kansas, right? It'd be a big game in the Big Eight. And then you'd have a game in the Big West. So you'd have Big East, Big Eight, Big West. And the Big West, UNLV was one of the best teams in the country at the time, and we beat UNLV in the Thunderdome, 1990, and a 18-year-old Travis Rogers ran down onto the court. Absolutely.
Okay, this is why I'm asking the question. Because is that not one of the coolest experiences you've ever had in sports? And I bring that up because I think there's certain environments in sports. So we use the black hole, for example, my Raiders, right? Like let's get right back to that.
Yes.
When I got my third tattoo of Al Davis, I have three Al Davis tattoos.
All Al Davis themed?
All Al Davis. Yep. All of them Al Davis.
Face, straight on profile.
Well, I have three of them.
The third one.
I have three of them. So there's.
Right. There's one
different
of his face, like full face.
Yep.
One's a profile like George Washington on the quarter. What's the third one?
The third one is somebody took a photo of the first one when I was getting the tattoo. So it's me getting a tattoo of Al Davis.
So it's a little meta. I like
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
It's very nice. Very nice.
All right. So that is one of the – I've rushed as well, and it was a San Diego State game. I can't remember what it was, all the details of it. It's one of the coolest. The black hole, I would think, is one of the cooler sports experiences that are out there. And it just, you know, there's certain environments. I'm sure at Lambeau and the Lambeau Leap and being in the mix of that, I'm sure some of these international soccer matches, it doesn't get any better being at a Man City or a Man United or a Barcelona or some of those. Raiders kind of have their own thing. I think it would be amazing to be in that.
But it's not just the environment. Like, I'd love to go to a Raider game at Allegiant Stadium. That would be awesome, right? I would love to go experience that. But the black hole, I don't think that I have enough swag, enough manliness, whatever you want to call it, to venture in. Those guys in the black hole are pretty serious dudes.
Bro,
I don't know if I can hang with them. I can hang drinking-wise, but
I get a few drinks in you, and you're going to think like... I told you. Remember I told you I went to the Rage Against the Machine concert? I was ready. I was ready that day. Hey, you know, if it's 3 to 6 months in the Slammer, it's worth it. This is the moment. So, you know, we adjust to our environment.
All right. It's time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. This is an interesting point. I want to put Paul in Mission Viejo on here for a second, Al, because he brings up an interesting question that we talked about briefly, but I think we need to reconsider. I want to hear what Paul has to say first. Paul, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's going on?
Hello, you there?
Yep.
Yeah, this is Paul from Mission Viejo. I'm 55 years old. The season is too new. I'm turning on the radio. I got to keep shutting it off. I'm in sales. I'm on the road a lot, and I got to keep shutting it off and turning it back on and see if you guys have stopped talking about it. And it's hurting us, all this conversation right now.
Okay, Paul, can I help you out here? Trust me, whatever we tell you, we're not spoiling anything. This is not. This is not. You know. If,
let
me use that as an example. If there was a really, really good movie, or there was a really good series that was going on right now, that Travis and I genuinely thought this is just a really good show, I'd be more with you, Paul. Trust me when I tell you, there's nothing Travis and I are going to say about Cobra Kai, who I think we all feel we're 14 years old when we're watching it, that you're going to walk home and eventually watch it and be like, man, these guys really screwed it up for me. That's my personal opinion.
I don't agree with that at all, Paul. I have a couple of questions for you. First of all, what is your standard in-and-out order? I want to make this a regular part of what we do when people call in. I need to know if you're one of us or whether you're just a part-timer. What is when you go through the line at In-N-Out, what do you get?
Okay, hands down, I get the regular cheeseburger, but the trick is well done, and you have to get the fries well done. That's the only way I can bear them. If you have them well done, they're edible.
Perfect. Okay, that's number one. And number two, would it help you if Alan and I had like a Cobra Kai segment where we just exclusively contained our Cobra Kai segment to one particular part of the show? Would you feel better about that? Would you stick with us longer if you knew that, all right, as long as I drop out for these 5 minutes, I'm not going to get any Cobra Kai spoilers?
I always stick with you, and yes, that would be fantastic.
Excellent. There you go. So I think that's maybe the happy medium, Al. Thank you, Paul. That if we have like a designated like LaRusso zone where we break it down at one point each day, and that way if people want to avoid the spoilers, they can. But if you're more like us and you just kind of want to power through this thing, you can stick with us.
I don't think Cobra Kai deserves its own. I don't think it deserves.
Well, this is where we differ.
People going out of their way to say, oh my gosh, they're talking about episode 3. Certain movies and certain shows deserve it.
Okay.
Did you ever watch? Did you ever watch the Emily? What was the show that you were trying to get me to watch? You told me like season 7. What was it?
Game of Thrones, right?
Oh yeah, Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones. I think that
How
one
could you
was.
Not pull Game of Thrones? By the way, I've never seen an episode, but it's like one of the most popular television series ever.
100%.
Also, guys,
and if you gave me 5 minutes, I still want to come up.
What was that gangster show on HBO with the guy that you know? What was that about? What was the name of that show?
So, guys, I just talked to Chris. So now we're going to institute a drop where it's going to be a spoiler alert for Cobra Kai.
It doesn't deserve it.
So if you're listening and you don't want any Cobra Kai spoilers, if you hear that sound, you're warned.
Look, I'm going to tell you something here. I deeply respect your disinterest in Cobra Kai. I really do.
Well,
No, I know you are, but I get the sense that you're watching it more out of professional obligation than I'm genuinely enjoying the process. But I like that you're trying to dump on something that the rest of us are enjoying, because that's usually my lane. I usually like that move quite a bit. But just because you don't like it doesn't mean that guys like Paul in Mission Viejo and Travis Rogers don't want to really savor these moments and enjoy them. I wouldn't want to know about Miguel getting fat if I hadn't seen it myself. I want to see that with my own two eyes.
What are we going to do when there's actually a series that deserves the respect?
Same
and
thing.
Deserves the let's make sure that we don't spoil it. And here's Cobra Kai. Now even getting a alert on the show that it's coming.
It's got to have like a kick sound and a Miyagi sound. Chris knows what. Chris is better at this than anybody else, so he'll know exactly how to put this thing together. All right. Dirk Nowitzki's number retired last night in Dallas. Who's next here in L.A.? We're going to do it next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You know how much fun going to a Laker game is, right, Al?
Of course.
Imagine going to a Laker game for free. Imagine just somebody saying, hey, here's some tickets. That's what you can do today. You can win tickets to the Lakers okay. and the Hawks. It's like free food, right? As much
as fun as it
is to go out, it's more fun when somebody else pays for it. That's always better.
This is perfect. This was a conversation came up yesterday. So my girl set up reservations at a restaurant. I don't know. It was like a week ago or something like that. And it's for tonight. And she has a gift certificate there. And right out the gate, I'm like, why? It tastes so much better. There's something about it when you're not paying a dime for it. So you're talking about this Laker game and, you know, getting a chance to win. So this is obviously we're doing the Thursday ticket giveaway. But going to an actual sporting event where you didn't have to drop a couple $100 for each ticket, and
yep.
now that money can go towards the concession stands and the drinks and everything else, that's a solid setup right there.
Can't beat it. All right, we're going to get to the retired numbers here in about 45 seconds. I got one quick tweet I want to read from Sharif Wade, who read very simply, and this is directed to you. Does Alan not like Cobra Kai?
No, I like it. I don't by any means
ringing
love it.
By the way,
it's like this. It's like going to a restaurant and you're like, all right, there's just enough there to bring you back. It's not something that you're going to go tell, you know, you're going out of your way to tell somebody, hey, this is an amazing restaurant. You got to go. Oh, the service is top notch. The quality of the food is awesome. I'm not walking away saying that about Cobra Kai. But what I will say is, you know, if you're in a hurry and you got to grab something to eat, it gets the job done.
No, well, I guess there's different tastes for different folks. Now, I'm starting to realize, like, you don't even like it for the campy factor, which we'll come back to it another point. All right, so I'm watching the Warriors and the Mavs last night. Couple of things, and we'll get back to this here in a second. The way that the Warriors did not play great last night, but the way that they play, I think, really kind of brought home how much work that the Lakers need to do to get on that level over the course of the last couple of months. It's coming up in a minute. But the night was about Dirk Nowitzki getting his number retired. And it got me to thinking about who's next, right? Like, who's the next guy here in L.A.? And, I mean, look, we know Powell is going to get his number retired. We know Clayton Kershaw is going to get his number. We just got to wait for these things to go by. There's a handful of Aaron Donald is going to have his number retired by the Rams. That's going to happen. It's just he's got to finish playing, and then we got to wait a little bit, all of those sorts of things. Are there a guy or two that kind of jumps to your mind? Because this is terribly obvious, but I still don't understand why it hasn't been done. I don't understand how Fernando Valenzuela does not have his number retired by the Dodgers. Now, the good news is, since he stopped playing for the Dodgers, no one else has worn it. No one else has gone out there and been number 34, but it's not officially retired. The Dodgers don't have an official policy of you have to be in the Hall of Fame. However, all of their retired numbers, with the exception of one, are in the Hall of Fame. Jim Gilliam is not, but he was killed tragically in an accident, and they retired his number shortly thereafter. Not only was Fernando a great pitcher, Cy Young Award winner, Rookie of the Year, World Series champion, you know, just everything that Fernando accomplished on the mound, but I don't know if there's been a player in the last 50 years for the Dodgers, and, you know, obviously Jackie Robinson's in a category by himself, that has had the cultural impact on the team and the city the way that Fernando Valenzuela did here in Los Angeles back in 1981.
So let me say this, and I got a couple in mind as well, and I'll talk. I can't have that same conversation that you can have about the Dodgers. I think you have, you know, a certain passion for the team, and you've been following them since you were a little kid, and it's very unique. I try to step aside when a conversation like that is happening. If I can list off a couple different Laker players, none of them, and this is me, none of them I think would have more of the conversation impact or would have you know, local fans would galvanize more than Fernando. So it's like even as a, I'll call myself an outsider, it's still no question Fernando. You know, like I'm very, very well aware of his impact in LA to an extent. Yes. Maybe not to your, you know, maybe not to how much you can talk to it, but I think that is such a, you know, one of those that if tomorrow the Dodgers decided, hey, you know what, we are going to retire Fernando Valenzuela, I think there would be 10 out of 10 people that there would be no question about it. Hey, this
couldn't
is great.
More.
This is awesome. They would galvanize behind the idea and the thought. Now, if I want to make a case.
I want to stop you real quick.
Yeah.
That's such a good point. It's such a good point. Is there anybody
no.
who would be like, come on, man, really? Like, there wouldn't be a soul that wouldn't be like, yeah, the only objection would be, what the hell took so long? That's it.
Okay.
Nothing else.
So let me say this now. If I use a Laker example and I try to make a case and I say, well, Derek Fisher has 5 championships with the Lakers. Derek Fisher was there for the Kobe Shaq era. Derek Fisher was there with the Kobe Pau Gasol era. Derek Fisher is a critical piece for the Lakers for X amount of years. The Lakers drafted him. He hit big shots. I could go through all of that. I guarantee you there are going to be Laker fans that say, yeah, I get it, but he's not Kobe. He's not Powell. He's not Shaq. He's not West. He's not Chamberlain. He's not Kareem. I don't think you're going to have any of that conversation with Fernando. And that it's almost like it takes me back. It steers me back over to Fernando because
sure.
I think the cases that I can make with some Laker players, there will always be somebody that says, come on. You want to retire that guy's jersey? Look at the jerseys that are up there. I think Fernando kind of stands in a class of himself.
That's a great point too. That there, if you put Fernando in between Don Drysdale and Sandy Koufax, does it feel illegitimate?
No,
mm-hmm. not at all. If you put Fernando Valenzuela's number 34 next to Clayton Kershaw's number 22, which is going to hang up there eventually too, does it feel like it doesn't belong? No. It absolutely doesn't. There's nothing about it that doesn't feel absolutely 100% earned. And it's not just the baseball. That you cannot, I mean, put it to you this way, and I know that this is the least scientific thing in the world. They made a 30 for 30 about Fernando Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they don't make those about just anything. And I know sometimes that they're about, you know, maybe stories that you don't know. Sometimes they're about really stories that we all know that they tell it from a different angle. But Fernando, baseball in 1981 was still a really big deal, but it took it to a whole nother level that every time Fernando would pitch, here's this guy from Mexico, he's 19 years old, he doesn't speak English, they discovered him, you know, Mike Brito discovered him, and he got thrown in on opening day because Jerry Royce's arm wasn't right, and he throws a shutout, and it turns out he's Rookie of the Year and Cy Young, he can hit, he can run the bases, he can do all these things. Everybody loved him, and the fact that he was Mexican in Los Angeles made it that much better because we have such a heavily Mexican-influenced community here, and there are so many Mexican-Americans here in Los Angeles that he was the best player on a really good team and for a really long time. What are we waiting for?
You know what's funny? You know what's funny? I think, too, you know, it's something that I think that makes the Dodgers – their fan base so unique. Go to a Dodger game. By the way, Lakers are like this too, but if you go to a Dodgers game, I mean, you want to talk about, and this probably has a lot to do with just LA in general, every ethnicity you could think of at a Dodgers game.
That's the
city. It is the city, but I think, and I can't speak to this, but I'm sure there's probably plenty people who watched Fernando Valenzuela when they were younger and became a Dodger fan because of him. And today, they're still a Dodger fan and they're still a season ticket holder. And now their kids are Dodger fans as well because of it. He has such a cultural impact. And it's funny because when you say, and I think this is such an interesting conversation because Dirk gets retired yesterday. There are no-brainers out there.
Sure.
And I think LA kind of sits in this, you know, there's so many different athletes that have represented Los Angeles over the years. You got the no-brainers. Powell's a no-brainer. He's going to get – his jersey is going to get retired, right?
Sure.
There Kershaw. Are players that are no-brainers. Kershaw's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But then there's always the case of, hey, is Michael Cooper or is Mike Piazza or is – the Fernando one was – that's the one where it's like, Why? What are the? What's the reasoning here? Just because he's not in the Hall of Fame? I think you can. I think you can separate it. There's certain players that have certain impacts for a certain city and organization. I think he should be one of those players.
I'm going to go back to. I'm going to take two things you said. I'm going to put them together. Here's number one. The idea of does it look, when you said about Derek Fisher, if you put Derek Fisher in between Jerry West and Shaquille O'Neal, does that feel right? It's like,
You're right.
You know, it's
right.
Just, no,
it's
no.
It's saved
it
for that, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't. It does not feel like Shaquille O'Neal and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It doesn't.
And it doesn't downplay how important Derek Fisher was, but he was not one of those players.
I'll say, I think it should be. And I'm not the world's biggest Derek, but for five championships, and you're not just along for the ride, but you're an important part of those, all five of those, I think it's absolutely well earned. But you can't say the same thing about Fernando. You could put Fernando next to anybody else up there, and it feels right. And it just feels like that's the best way to do it. 877-710-ESPN. Who would you like to see up there? Pick your sport. Pick whatever you want. Make it creative. Make it somebody that we've overlooked. Make it somebody that maybe is a little bit off the beaten path. Michael Cooper's a really interesting one too, Al, that you mentioned, because I have a very soft spot for Coop in my heart because I was about the Showtime Lakers. He was an incredibly important part of that. If you want to call in, please do. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We'll continue that conversation. Plus, did you see coming up next? It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
So before we get started on Did You See, Taylor, you found the second bottle. Have you already given that to Jorge, or are you going to redirect that where it's supposed to go, or how are you going to handle that?
Yeah, that belongs to Jorge now, right? That's where it's supposed to go.
That's the one that actually
Jorge
has your name on it?
Stocking up. He's literally going to be a total wine and more.
There was
by
no
the
name on that. No name in that bag.
Well, there you go. All right. What do you got for us today, Taylor?
Okay, guys. Did you see that it's National Technology Day? If you could pause technological advancement in any decade, which decade would you pick? Should we just have stopped at the BlackBerry 20 years ago, or would you go back even further?
I'll go first on this one because I think this is going to have a lot to do with our varying ages, right? That what we got used to, like if we could stop it right before answering machines, I don't know what decade that is or what year that is. Probably somewhere in the late 70s, early 80s. I'm okay with that. Like I want the good things to move forward, like medicine and things like that. Like I want to be able to the cancers that we can cure now. I want to be able to still do that.
I don't want to get numbed when I go to the dentist.
No, I want all that. But what I don't want is this constant ability for someone to find me. This ability to be in constant touch where if somebody calls you, like remember before you'd call somebody.
That's why you got to go camping.
By the way, good point. Good point. But you'd call somebody's house, it'd ring six or seven times, you know, you'd hang it up, and I guess I don't know where they are. You couldn't leave them a message. You couldn't text them or anything like that. It's just, I guess I'll try them later. Maybe you'd call back later. Maybe you'd ride your bike over to their house and knock on their door and see if something was going on. I like that you had to kind of hustle to meet someone. You kind of had to put it out there to find a way to connect with somebody. I like being able to look at my phone and all that stuff as much as the next guy, but not constantly being in contact is a pretty good deal, I think.
Okay, so I don't know where we were technology-wise, but I'll just say when I was like 10 to 15 years old, I don't know, there was nothing better. Trav, maybe this still happens. You're in a neighborhood. You got kids. There was nothing better than No. To have fun or to do something, you had to go outside and play some basketball with your neighbors.
Yes.
You had to go outside and in the cul-de-sac think you were Steve Young or Joe Montana because you threw a dart on 2-and-2 football on a blacktop. Okay?
Out by the Buick Cutlass.
Oh, by the way, it was the same play every time. It was the same play every time. Like, I ran a chair 39 times. But I think there was something about that time where it was so freaking innocent.
Yeah.
You know, we did this before the Christmas holidays. I did that event with Sandlot.
Yeah.
Sandlot, the movie, was about just everybody going outside
the neighborhood
and playing baseball, and it's a pickup basketball game, whatever it is. Maybe that's still happening, but I think it would be less. Can I tell you something? Over the holidays, my girl got me an Oculus, VR. Okay? Okay. I don't know if you guys have any idea what the hell those things are. I don't know anything about virtual reality, Oculus. I don't know anything about that world. Trav, I've had this thing for a week. I have to have time in the day where I throw that bad boy on.
It's my Oculus time. Everybody leave me alone.
Do you know if you wanted to, you said you were watching the Mavs and the Warriors yesterday?
Yeah.
If you wanted to, you get on your Oculus. It's connected to, obviously your Wi-Fi. You get the ESPN app, and you could throw on that game, watch it live, and it's on this screen because, you're putting this headset on. You're literally watching it as if you're at a movie theater. It's
That's amazing.
I don't know how to explain it if you don't have virtual. I think anybody who's tuning in right now knows VR.
Do you lose track of the fact that you're watching, I don't want to say a simulation, but that you're not courtside or that you're not involved in these things? Do you still realize I'm sitting in my living room watching the Warriors and the Mavs on TV, even if it's not TV?
There are videos. YouTube has their own YouTube VR. National Geographic has its own virtual reality. There are videos on there where they'll put you in, just as an example, like a hot air balloon. I feel like I'm going down. Like I'm gonna fall. it's insane how cool it is. So this just kind of hits on the technology thing. Maybe there's a lot of people now who aren't outside anymore because they can do boxing on virtual reality and get a workout in for 20 minutes or whatever it is, right? But that world is certainly taking over and it's changing. So that's
I could be feeling my age a little bit because I picked up my son from baseball last night and he gets in the car and he immediately puts in his AirPods and he just disappears into his own world. I'm like, wouldn't be the end of the world to have a 15-minute conversation on the way home.
He just sits in the back seat.
More or less, he might as well not even be in the car. He could be anywhere but sitting right next to me. But what are you gonna do? What's next, Taylor?
Did you see that Schoolhouse Rock premiered on ABC 49 years ago today? Now, I remember this educational cartoon in between Saturday morning cartoons when I was a kid. So, Travis and Slee, what cartoon is the undisputed GOAT of Saturday mornings?
Oh, I got it. So, for me, this first of all, the Schoolhouse Rock was awesome. Conjunction, Junction, what's your function? There you go. I love that one. I'm Only a Bill. That was a good one. Yuck Mouth was a great one. They call me Yuck Mouth because I don't brush. It was like to teach you how to brush your teeth. I love those things. But to answer your question, Taylor, the Super Friends. Was there anything better than you would get Superman, Batman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, the Wonder Twins with Zane and Jaina, all of those going up against the Legion of Doom? That was amazing. That was by far my favorite Saturday morning cartoon.
Tom and Jerry was on Saturday mornings, right?
For me, it was on in the afternoons when you get home from school on, like, weekdays.
Okay. Because I would do Tom and Jerry. Remember Animaniacs?
That's a little after my time, but I know what it is, yes.
Okay, that's legendary, too. Garfield. You used to do some Garfield in the days. Yeah.
Garfield had a moment. I always get them. They're Garfield, and there was another orange cat. One of them was super lazy, and one of them ate lasagna. Heathcliff. That was the other orange cat.
Yeah.
They had two orange cat cartoons.
It was kind of like a rivalry. Yeah, you were either on one side or the other. Remember Woody Woodpecker?
Oh, I liked Woody Woodpecker.
All right, there's a couple right there.
Not too bad. But they're... The Super Friends, they here's the thing. Zane
Popeye,
and Jaina,
Popeye,
the
I
Wonder
think was on
Twins. I never liked Popeye because olive oil would ruin everything. She was always around being all weak and in distress. And Pluto was always...
Bro, I used to watch Winnie the Pooh Saturday mornings.
Bluto was kind of my guy. I liked Bluto. He'd always get beat up at the end by Popeye. Olive oil kind of ruined Popeye for me. One more, Taylor.
Last one. Did you see that Pepsi is bringing back Crystal Pepsi for a limited time to celebrate its 30-year anniversary? What fad from days gone by is deserving of a comeback?
Al?
Well, first of all, do you remember Crystal Pepsi?
Yeah.
Okay, it was, at the time, like a really big deal. It's like, wait, what do you mean there's... I remember going to the grocery
store.
It's
like 7-Up, but it tastes like Pepsi.
And I remember going to the grocery store where it was like, no, we got to get this one, right, Mom? And she's like, just grab the freaking Pepsi. Nobody's going to be drinking Crystal, whatever the hell this is. Trying to think of something back in the day. You got one off the top of your head that you'd bring back?
Fanny packs. I loved fanny packs.
That's yeah. You didn't hesitate.
You would keep your sunglasses. So fanny packs had their moment when I was like a sophomore, junior in high school. And there was nothing better. You'd have your wallet in there.
You should have seen the look on your face. Fanny packs.
Fanny packs are back, guys.
Not for me.
Not for you guys. Gen Z fashion's all about fanny packs. Everything like 80s, 90s is so in Gen Z.
Everything,
so maybe you can just dress you up.
You could keep whatever. At the time, I wore contact lenses. I keep my little bottle of the solution in there, my keys, my sunglasses, my wallet. I had everything you could ever want in that fanny pack. And it looked – and by the way, like you're going to wear it off your hip like it's a gun. You're going to wear it in your back. You're going to wear it in the front. Like where are you – how are you going to cinch it tight? Are you going to wear it loose so it dangles? There's a lot
right
of decisions
now.
To make.
Please do me a favor. Do not let – anyone tell you you cannot bring back fanny packs? Trav, you can do it, bro.
No, I can't.
I want you. Yes, you can.
My buddy Brian wears a fanny Albertsons. Pack, and he looks ridiculous.
Okay, you know what's funny? When you go take the dog out for a walk, right? You got to – it's basically a fanny pack. You put his – you know, the bags in there, and you put the – all that. I rock that thing like it's the – like it's the – like I'm making a fashion statement. But the reality is it's only so Rookie can eat, and we could pick up after him, okay?
Yeah.
But I rock it like it's something. Like
that's where the fashion is a cross strap where like the fanny pack rides like right on your chest. That's also a big thing in Gen Z. So it's eventually if it's not a fanny pack, I guess it's a chest strap.
Do you guys remember the chain on the wallet?
So that always felt a little aggressive for Travis. Like that fanny pack was nice, suburban and safe. Like a wallet chain was I'm getting ready to go to jail. I never felt like that was in my lane.
Yeah, it probably wasn't in my lane, but I rocked it for a little bit.
I loved seeing it. Like
wallet.
I wanted to be the guy that.
Oh, did my wallet fall? No, it didn't, because I have a chain attached to my belt.
501's big black leather belt with a wallet chain, and you just knew that he was getting ready to kick someone's ass. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to be that guy. I just never was. I was more like subtly trying to tease you into getting beat up, not going to actually hurt someone along the way. All right, we got lots of questions and opinions on whose number should be retired here in L.A. Some are with – I'm still looking for that first no Fernando. This needs to happen. This is going to be my cause moving forward. I want 34 hanging in the outfield at Dodger Stadium. That's all coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.